Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. There are many reasons why this verse is very special to me. One is that it's through this verse that I received the great truth of salvation. Another reason is that it was through this verse that salvation was made so simple to me some years before I was saved. And actually, I think Mr. McBain, who stopped at our home, was having meetings in the assembly where my parents were, stopped around in an afternoon to visit me, came up the steps while I was ignoring him and supposed to be busy doing my homework. And he sat down, very kindly sat down, talked to me. He eventually brought me to this verse, and he told me about going in at the first all and going out at the last all. Now, I didn't know at that time, but that story has a historic background. Actually, I think D.L. Moody resolved that every day he would not let the day pass before he spoke personally to some soul about salvation. And it was getting toward the end of the day, so the great evangelist, it was raining, that would have been enough for me, but not for Mr. Moody. He grabbed his umbrella, and he saw a man walking down the sidewalk. He walked in step with him with the umbrella, and he said to him, "Sir, I just want to tell you very simply how you can be saved." And he quoted to him, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And he said to him, "If you'll go in at the first all, you can come out at the last all. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. If you'll go in there, if you'll take in the truth that that all is about you, then you'll have no difficulty taking in the truth that the last all is about you. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." I've got a preacher problem. I took longer to explain what he said than he took to say it. He gave his little message, go in at the first stall, out at the last stall, took his umbrella away, and quickly made his exit. And the story continues that man, through that simple illustration, was brought to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And in essence, that's what I want to speak to you about tonight, finding the right door. If there's anyone here, in fact, we're assuming that there are souls here tonight that would love to leave this meeting saved, then let me tell you tonight, it is as simple as finding the right door. Salvation is not an experience. Salvation is not some realization that comes over you, some new feeling, some new insight that you suddenly grasp as you listen to the gospel, some sense of just an indefinable that happens. Salvation is not an experience. And salvation is not gaining a degree of knowledge. But salvation is finding out that what took place at Calvary was for me. And that meets my need. That sounds so simple. And people listen to the gospel and they say, "But anybody knows that." But the problem is you've never gone in at the first all. You've never found the door. For people who recognize this is about me, salvation is simple. So let me, first of all, speak to you about the only entrance. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. What we are looking at actually in these words is a twofold description of the whole human family. Now, I hope you'll understand that it's no help to you if I tell you this is describing everyone, but if you take tonight this as a personal message from God describing you, there is tremendous blessing in this for you. All we like sheep have gone astray. There's one description. We have turned everyone to his own way. There's a second description. The first description is telling us what we are by nature. We are all sinners by nature. All we like sheep have gone astray. The second is telling us what we are by choice. We are all sinners by choice. We have turned everyone to his own way. The first is telling us about a faulty character. There's something wrong with man. There's something basically wrong with what he is by nature. I've sometimes wondered, because what we're preaching is standard gospel preaching. It has been preached down through the centuries. It is preached wherever the true biblical gospel is preached, that man is a ruined sinner. And I have often thought, if I were a person coming to hear this preaching and listening for the first time and didn't understand, it would seem extremely strange to me that somebody would get up and tell us all how bad we are. Help us out. We would all like to feel better about ourselves. There is no one in this world that has rightly understood himself. And until you understand to some degree and are willing to accept what God has to say about your, about my ruined condition, you will never receive the greatest of all blessings of which we have been reminded tonight. A faulty character, something wrong. But there is as well a fateful choice that every one of us has made. We have turned everyone to his own way. Well, you say, if that's the case, we're like sheep. And sheep just have a tendency to wander away, to be lost, and therefore we're just fated to be what we are. We can't help it. And this is just the way life is. Could I tell you just two things that run contrary to that? God didn't make you, and God didn't make me that way. The way we are is the result of a terrible fall that took place way back at the beginning of human history. God made man to enjoy God. God made man to find delight in what we're talking about tonight. The word of, you see, there are people here tonight. Somebody said, how come the Christians go every night? They just hear the same old story. They didn't come tonight to hear anything new. They just came to hear the old, old story of the gospel because they, let me just put myself in there, we love that story. We love that Savior. And we just love to hear about the Lord Jesus. And sometimes you can hardly pay people who don't know Him to come. They can't enjoy that. But we were made originally to enjoy God, to enjoy that. Something has happened. Something is wrong. And from that moment until this, life is out of joint. And I was thinking of the hymn as I listened to what we have been reminded of already tonight. I've wandered far away from God. And in his emptiness and experience, the hymn writer writes, "Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Now I'm coming home. I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy word, thy love, believe thy word. Lord, I'm coming home. I've wasted," that's the verse I wanted, "I've wasted many precious years. Lord, I'm coming home. I've known regret and lonely tears. Now I'm coming home. Not what you were made for. Not what God intended life to be. It's time to come home. every one of us ruined by sin, wandering away from God. Every one of us has chosen to sin. Don't blame all this on Adam. You and I have made the same choice he made many, many times over. But I want to just mention as well to you that when it comes to this matter of our condition, there is as well a twofold difference between the way we view ourselves and Jesus.
Let me just take you back to a story the Lord Jesus told. Remember the story about the two men that went up to the temple to pray? And here's how one of them prayed. He is the representative of every person in the world by nature. He's the representative of all the religions of the world. And here he is, and he's praying. God, I don't even know whether he bothered closing his eyes. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. All we like sheep have gone astray. Now you may be as religious as he. You may have restrained your nature a lot better than other people have. You may have a much higher standard of honesty and morality than other people have. And you would never stoop to do the things that other people have. But could I tell you tonight that as far as God is concerned, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. There is one thing that is the same about me as about Hitler. I think that must be about the worst person I could select. There is one thing that is the same about him and me. He was a sinner. And I am a sinner. And let me just bring you in tonight and tell you, you are a sinner. No difference. But just a minute, I interrupted the man's praying, so let me just let him go on a little further. God, I thank you that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, or idolaters, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I do good things. I have my own way of living, and it is good in God's sight. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Pharisee, you have turned to your own way to be righteous and to please God. And then there are people and they have turned to their own way and they think that if they are educated and improve their lot, that's the way. And then there are other people and they have selected another way to be good, to be righteous. We have turned everyone to his own way. And then there's a segment of society that says, I don't care about being righteous. I'll take my own way to live. And no matter at what strata of society you look, we have turned everyone to his own way. No matter what the culture, no matter what the personality, no matter what the outward appearance of the individual may be, everyone has made a left turn. We've all gone astray. That's man's condition. So different from the way we view ourselves as what God says about us. But more than that, I want to try to point out to you tonight a twofold difficulty. Because in the first part of this description, all we like sheep have gone astray is the fact that we are lost. We've gone astray. I think men have a good dose of human nature. Males, I mean. I think males have a good dose of human nature. Now, my wife tells me this. I'm not sure it's true, but my wife tells me this. That I will never stop and ask directions. because I am never lost. I've just got to figure out how to get there. And so we spend some extra time getting to where we could have gotten simply. She says this is true. I'm not telling you it's true. We could have gotten there simply if we'd have just asked directions. Because we don't like to admit we're lost. And this is one pill that is very difficult to swallow. When you listen to the gospel, you and I are lost. And it's not even because we don't have the intelligence to figure our way home. And it's not because we just don't know enough facts to get home. We are lost because of what we are. We are sinners. And because of our nature, we are totally lost. And the difficulty is this. Because we are lost, we cannot effect our salvation. There is nothing that you or I can do to ever find our way home, to ever find our way to God, to ever deliver us from our extreme danger. I wish tonight I could be so clear that no one in the gathering would miss the message. You and I cannot save ourselves. We are lost. And no matter whether you're baptized or go to church or devote your life to the good cause or give your body to be burned, you can never produce the forgiveness of sins. You can never effect salvation. Lost. But you see, the next part of the verse tells us this. We are guilty. We have turned everyone to his own way. We have broken God's law. We have made our own choice. We live by a choice to rebel against God. You say, I didn't like that, did you? Let me just say it again very carefully but directly. We live by a choice to rebel against God. You say, no. I rebelled against my parents. You don't know what happened in my home. Rebelled against God. No. I've just tried my own way, just wondering how it would go. Rebelled against God. No, you say, I haven't rebelled against God. I have tried to live morally and an upright life. Rebelled against God. Because the Bible says the mind of the flesh is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God. It is in constant, unbroken rebellion against God's authority. I know that's a very strong statement. But it's exactly what the Bible says. We have turned everyone to his own way. So that we are guilty before God, and we cannot escape condemnation. There is not one thing you can do tonight to avoid the eternal fire of which we have been reminded. Not one effort on your part will put on the brakes to slow you down. Not one effort on your part will ever avert the tremendous consequence of your sin. The judgment of God looms before you. It is exactly what you deserve. And you have no power to remove your sins or to remove the penalty that your sins deserve. What a tragic condition you and I are in by nature. And this is the way the Word of God is presenting it to us tonight. And what we are simply asking you to do is this. Will you tonight bow to what God says? Or will you continue on and say, it's not that bad. That doesn't describe me. Or will you do as I did throughout all the years of my boyhood before I was saved? When somebody preached what I'm preaching tonight, I heard it all my life, but when they preached this, I figured there must be some sinners in the meeting someplace. I didn't see who came in, but it's somebody back there, because I always had to sit up front. Somebody back there, it must be for them. Now you say, David, you really did that? I actually did. And that's why this verse was such a blessing to me, because I found out that this was for me. the preachers were not preaching to somebody else. God's word is for all. God's word is for you. And if you would like tonight to be saved, here's the door. And bow your will to God and step in through the door. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But I do want to tell you tonight the only explanation for what took place at Calvary, because these two halves of the verse are mated together perfectly. I have just been struck by one word that's in the verse. It doesn't say, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him. It's and. Because this is the case, then there must be this next part of the verse. You could not have any blessing if there were not this truth to follow what I've been preaching already. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let me try tonight to just tell you about God's anger. Or you say, but I thought God was a loving God. Oh, I do want to tell you that before we're finished tonight. But I want you to understand, because of what you and I are, because of what you and I have done, God is angry with the wicked every day. You have a God to face who is angry about your sin. And there came one moment when the floods of God's wrath built up to the breaking point. God had allowed his wrath to spill out in various occasions in the early world. And a flood came and 8 people were saved and the world was taken away in judgment. And the cities of the plain were overthrown with fire and brimstone. The wrath of God spilled out. But the moment came when the wrath of God, now built up through the centuries, and not only the wrath of God because of sins past, but the wrath of God knowing fully all the sins that would ever be committed in this dark world. And the floods finally came to the point where the anger of God, the wrath of God, burst all its dams and overflowed in one tragic moment. And you say, if I understand what you're saying, it doesn't make sense, because what must have happened was somehow the whole world was obliterated by the judgment of God. It should have been. But what happened was, the Lord hath made to meet upon him the iniquity of us all. And what took place at Calvary was this. I wish I could grasp it and convey it. All of God's anger against sin, all the displeasure of God's heart against sin, was poured out without anything to hold it back. And its object was God's own beloved Son. Who can explain it? But at Calvary, the Lord hath cause to meet upon him all the focus of the wrath of God, found one solitary object, impaled upon a cross, scorned outside Jerusalem's walls. He hung in agony as all God's wrath swept over him upon the cross. Do you ever see what happens when somebody gets one of those magnifying glasses that bends the light rays, you know? And the light rays are all, they tell me, they're all coming straight into it like this, but then they're just bending up by the lens. And then there's a point just down there somewhere where all those rays top around the bottom side, they all converge in one point. You know what happens? I think you can get your leaves burning if you just focus it all on that light, can't you? You can get a piece of paper burning. You focus all those rays, just that many rays, if you focus them all on one point. What happened at Calvary was, that became the focal point of all the wrath of God. It was what God did. Could I tell you tonight, if it depended on what you or I did, there would be no way that sin could ever be put away. We are lost. We have gone our own way. No hope in us. And there's nothing you can do tonight. If you're ever going to be in heaven, it'll have to be by a work that God does, or you'll never be there. If you're ever going to know your sins removed, it will have to be the result of a divine work. It cannot be what you or I put our hand to touch it. We will only taint it with sin. We're lost.
The wonderful truth is this. Join me tell you how I was saved.
This is what I understood that night. Just in the verse of a hymn, it came to me. God who knew them, see, all my sins were laid upon Him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God who knew them, laid them on Him. I didn't get any further in the verse of that hymn that night. I understood something I had never understood before. I had heard it before, I had read it before. But it wasn't until I realized how deeply I needed it that I understood its value to me. What I understood was this: I could never have put my sins on the Lord Jesus. I wouldn't have known them all. But God knew them all before I ever committed them. And what the Bible told me was this: at Calvary, God took my sins and He laid them on the Lord Jesus. You understand tonight why I'll never suffer for my sins? He suffered for them. Do you understand why I will never pay the penalty of my sins? He died for me. And what we are presenting in the gospel tonight is this account from heaven. This is what God says takes place at Calvary. God is not saying, now listen, if you will do what you are supposed to do, then I will do what I am supposed to do. God is giving you His record tonight, the unchanging record of a God who is totally reliable. And His record is this: all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And here is salvation for every soul in the meeting tonight who is desperately in need of being saved, under the burden of sin, descending the broad road to eternal judgment. Soul, will you look to what God is telling you about Calvary's cross? The work that saves was all accomplished when at Calvary the Lord caused to meet on Him the iniquity of us all. And the only answer that heaven will ever provide is what was accomplished 1900 years ago upon the cross. God is not going to make some new thing for you tonight, and God is not going to do something tonight for you. God is pointing you back to what His Word says. The Lord hath, it's already done, laid on Him the iniquity of us all. You say, but how will I know if that's for me? And who is God addressing when He says, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way? I hope you understood tonight very simply and clearly. This is God's message to me. He's not speaking to the person next to me. This is me. If you fit in the first of all, there can be no question that you belong in the last of all. The Lord hath laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. God grant tonight, you may take in the wonderful truth. I'm helpless. There is not a hope for me. God knew my condition. And 1900 years ago, He gave a Son and laid on Him the sinner's guilt. And that is God's answer. That is the good news. And that is all I need tonight. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee tonight for a message from heaven. Come. for all things are now ready. How wonderful the heart of God in grace reaching out to a world of needy sinners. And we thank Thee that the call of God is going out in the gospel tonight. We pray that Thou wilt bless Thy word, that the result of this meeting might be souls drawn to Calvary. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me, and men from every clime and culture and century have been drawn to Calvary. We trust there will be souls tonight drawn to the Lord Jesus, saved for eternity. We commit Thy word to Thee, pray Thy richest blessing upon it, as we give our thanks again for the Savior. And if not a soul in the meeting tonight would take in this message, we pray that they will. But if they would not take in this message, with everyone here tonight who is saved, we rejoice and thank Thee from our hearts for what was accomplished at Calvary. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus and for a work that was finished by God's matchless grace. Grant Thy blessing. Receive our thanks for Thy word. Preserve us as we separate, as we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hymn number 3. Two verses of this hymn in closing. Hymn number 3. A trembling soul I sought the Lord. I knew my guilt, my sins deplored. How welcome was His word to me. He took my place and died for me. Verses 1 and 2 of number 3, our sincere thanks to you for being here tonight. We appreciate the interest and support of the Christians, those that have been at the prayer meeting before the meeting, and we would welcome the help of any that can stay, even for just a part of the time we'll be together to pray after this meeting. Those who wish to pray can just go directly downstairs after the meeting and ask for God's blessing. Remember the meetings. If you can't be with us night by night, remember the meetings in prayer and bring others along. We appreciate the efforts of those who are doing that as well. Verses 1 and 2 of hymn number 3.